Oh, you have a fan club tonight. What's your name?
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth. There's an assignment on you in this season of your life, Mary Beth, to study the tribe of Issachar. Everything about the tribe of Issachar, I saw that on your life, even in the short walk up here. I heard the Lord saying, times and seasons, knowing when to declare, what to do, how to release all that the Father is doing, how to release it in declaration. God says there's a savviness coming to you on when things need to get done and when things need to get declared. You have a gathering anointing on your life where you could gather people. I see you as one, the phone is constantly at your side, which is a good thing. For you're one to just gather and even send out prayer alerts, we need to pray. So you're like that watchman that's been sitting on the wall. And God says, you've been seeing the danger and you've been faithful at ringing the bell and saying, we need to pray about this thing. But the Lord says, there's other matters that I'm going to turn your attention to, other matters that need prayer that the Lord is calling your attention to. So just even as God is shifting the things that you're looking at, the Lord's just going to turn your attention to other matters that you never quite even considered before. Matters within the church. The Lord says, I want my body united. The Lord says, I want a unified body, says the Lord. And that's even a growing burden on your life for to pray and to declare into that situation within the church. So God says, you've been doing faithful, but there's an increase coming to you, an increase. Carpet time is going to increase for you. It's you, the carpet, and Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're enjoying every moment. Praise God. But there's visitation in that. There's visitation in this hour for you, says the Lord. For God says, you will be that person that declared, you know, God, I've heard you before, but now I've seen you. I've seen your work, and I see the beauty of the Lord. There's a glory of the Lord that's shining upon you. Look for precious stones. Look for precious stones. But I see, like, just these brilliant little shine, you know, things shining all around you. I hear the Lord saying, even through stones, God's going to begin to speak to you different aspects of his beauty and what he's doing in the earth today. There's a gifting in you to minister to women. The Lord says that you will prophesy the word of the Lord. There's a prophetic edge to you. The Lord says you're one that you just can't, even through things that occur around you, you're able to say, look at how this happened and what is God saying through that. There's an edge that's growing in your life and people are going to come to you. There's a magnetic force about you. People want to know more about you. They want to hear your voice. They want to hear, what are we to pray about? What are we to do in this hour? So the Lord says, don't take your anointing lightly, nor despise the day of small beginnings. Because it will increase, and it will increase, and it will increase, says the Lord. And you will have a network of people calling and emailing saying, what are we declaring today? What is the Lord saying today? So get ready. You have that computer ready? Okay. Get the computer ready. Get ready, for I see the Lord saying, you'll be sending off those marching orders. Here's what we're declaring. Here's what we're praying. Here's what's being said in the body. And just really to organize all that's taking place in the body of Christ in this hour. Amen. Amen. Colors. The Lord's going to activate colors for you. And the Lord's going to be going to speak to you through colors. Get ready to even teach and instruct on colors. There's a deeper understanding of what God wants to do through colors. And even it's going to be so strategic on how God had led you to declare a certain thing, and all of a sudden on that day you're running into this specific color. So look at the coordination and how God is showing you that as well, and how God is speaking to you through that area of your life. The Lord also says to you, I see connection for you. I see God connecting you across state lines with some people, with other key intercessors. The Lord says that it's not just a local thing, but you're going to start reaching out. And God says, I'm going to network. And I hear all these hands kind of clasping in different parts in different states. So the Lord says, I'm going to do a greater thing. So get ready to be used in a greater measure than what you even planned and prepared. Amen? There's one other thing I want to share, and it's that I hear God saying that I know where you're at. I see you. You're like in the center of this forest, and you're like, God, you know, you've led me here, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm doing here. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm bringing you to a greater place. He knows where you're at. He knows how to reach you where you're at. And God says, I'm bringing you and I'm guiding you forward. You're like that woman. You've been reaching out for more of God. You've been reaching out, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. And you've been stretching and you've been really even striving to really get that release, that new level that you've been waiting for. And I hear the Lord saying, at times you've looked at it like God has his back towards me. But it's not even that. The Lord is setting you up. Can you see? God is setting you up to let you know there's a hunger, there's an expectation, there's something growing on the inside of you where you're just going to launch forth to a whole new level that you have not seen before. Visions, 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 visions. Open, the Lord is opening your spiritual eyes to a whole new level to see all that he is speaking to you, all that he is showing to you. Night visions, difference between dreams and night visions. Night visions, waking up to see visions of the Lord even as you're awake. The Lord says, I'm going to show things to you. There's an angel in your car. You don't travel alone. You don't travel alone. You are well protected, well accompanied, and that answers a lot of questions for you. But God says, I have taken care of you. God says, I'm round about you, and I'm setting things in order in your life so that you'll realize when I say it's time, run. Run with the anointing because you have it, and God says there's more for you.
Okay. You're a network maven. God's going to use you in creating networks and being a nexus or the central part of a network. I see you running a network of intercessors, of people that pray and of disseminating information on who needs prayer, about what. I just see you doing that. Second, I also see a gift of healing in your hands. And forgot a little bit of oil. Or if you're from South Carolina, all. If you got some all. Just want to anoint your hands here. God says healing.
Thank you, God.
In your hands. Healing in your hands. And God says, don't be afraid of any name, that the name of Jesus is above the name of cancer, lupus, heart disease, polio, of every kind of disease that man is afraid of, that the name of Jesus is above every single one of those names. And God says to you to begin to lay hands on, or you're probably already laying hands on the sick, are you? Okay. Something a little bit. A little bit to increase it and to begin to, and this may sound silly, but to begin to just make a notation of when you pray for people and then make a notation when you hear that they're healed so that you can, in a very professional way, keep track of your score. Okay, so you want to keep track of your score. There's a whole thought. When we get serious about this stuff, about challenging, making a demand on the anointing. And if all I do is loosely pray, but I never go back and say, were you healed when we prayed? Then I have not really made a demand on the anointing. I've just thrown some prayer seeds out, which is fine on one level. But when God says to me, I have a gift of healing, I need to begin to go, wait a minute, have you been healed yet? We're going to pray again and make a demand on the anointing. And the only way I've ever figured out to really do it is to start to keep a record and go back and start asking, have you been healed yet? Jesus had to pray for a guy twice one time. It's always struck me.
That's true.
Had to pray for Jesus. God in the flesh had to pray for somebody twice. Hello? So God's going to use you there. And I want to encourage you. No, the Father encourages you to stir it up. To stir it up. God's going to, I see a storm of healing coming to this area. I see a storm, like a big thing, like a tornado that's big up there, but funnels down to a small thing here. But the small thing has a tremendous amount, has a tremendous velocity. I see that happening. So be part of the storm. Be part of what God stirs up here. Third, I see as a secondary thing, just a spirit of counsel on you to counsel people, to help people get healed of old lies and old wounds. If you know about some of these ministries that are out today now, RTF, Restoring the Foundations, or Theophostic prayer, any of these things. Just see God will use you there and encourage you to get some training And I'll tell you this, that when you, if you pursue this and get the skill, God will show you how to achieve miracles in 15 minutes in a prayer line. He's going to use you in prayer ministry or ministry, and ministry teams, all that stuff. And I see that God's going to show you how to achieve quick results in a short amount of time in a prayer line. What might take a counselor 5 weeks to do, you're going to be able to do in 10 minutes. Under the anointing, in a prayer thing, with the music playing or in the middle of worship or whatever, I see you just pulling thorns out quickly without a fuss. Hallelujah. Did you talk about the prophetic? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Well, there's a prophetic call on you. That's already done. Has it already been spoken? She goes,
Yes.
Okay, so you know when God says a thing one time, it's done, right? But when he says it two times, it means like he's not going to change his mind.
Amen.
It's really done. Okay, that was the rule laid down by Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he said, Pharaoh, you had this dream twice. That means God's going to do it and won't change his mind. So I'm confirming what's already been spoken to you prior. All right, I just want to note that. So we say twice now.
Yes.
Be opened. Eyes be opened. Ears be opened. Mm-hmm. Mouth be opened.
Yes.
See, hear, and speak.
Yes.
And I release to you an ability to speak clearly and to shape thoughts quickly and clearly so they can be communicated. Once again, in a short amount of time. God's not called you to be long-winded, loquacious, but short and to the point. This is one of the things God's put in you, is that desire to get it done, spoken quickly, and not to massage it over and over again.
Bless God.
Okay, last. There's a discipling call to specific women that God's going to, or already has, or is going to put you in a relationship with. Deep discipleship, a deep impartation of what's in you to them. And they're going to take what's in you and multiply it many more times than you ever could. Some of the desire you have to, be used in other places, be used in the nations, God's going to keep you here quite a bit. But these other women that you disciple are going to walk out some of your own desires. Is that okay? Okay. All right.
When you were younger and growing up, there was a period of time where you weren't really comfortable in your own skin. There was some insecurity that came in, and God says that he's bringing a healing to old stuff. I can see that it's like if you imagine that you're like a brick building, and there's little gaps missing, like a brick missing here, a brick missing there, a brick missing here, etc. God says there's a few places that when you're growing up that they weren't really built into properly, and that he's going to come over the next 6 months. He's going to restore all that stuff. He's going to bring in and fill all the little gaps. There's things, old hurts that you don't even know are there, and he's going to come and just ever so gently heal them and fill that up with his word. In fact, you're going to have times when you're reading the Bible and a verse is going to jump out at you, and you're going to get like teary-eyed, and you're going to be like, why did I just cry over Jonah 3:5, you know, or whatever. I don't think there are three chapters in Jonah, are there? There's only the one in there. Yeah. See, you wouldn't cry over Jonah 3:5 because it doesn't exist. Is there four? Interesting. Who knows? Well, anyways, that could have been a bubbling over of prophetic stuff. So, anyways, God's going to bring a healing to you that when that happens, when you're reading the Bible, you just stop and pray, because God's going to begin to use those verses to heal things from the past. And even he's going to go beyond that. You're going to begin to walk in a new comfort in and knowledge of who God has made you to be. There's going to become a new boldness in you, a new satisfaction of what God has made you to do. And there's desires in your heart character traits that you want that you don't have. And God says he's put those desires in you, that he gives you the desires of your heart. So he's put those desires in you, and so to press after them. God, I see you saying, having the opportunity to pray or maybe to go evangelize or whatever, and you're just like, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say to them. Well, God says you have a story. You have a magnificent story, and you need to share it. He says there's yearnings in your life and even an occasional feeling of emptiness because you need to share the gospel. He says there's sometimes a straining in your heart. Your experience has brought an empathy to you that is going to open doors for you to pray with lost people. You need to be giving and pouring out into the world. He says you're always going to have opportunities to minister to the church, a capital C church, but you need to be giving yourself to the world and pouring out into the world. You know the gospel. You've got it down pat. But see, what's added on to that is you have a gift of being able to empathize with people's hurts, and to understand where people are at and to minister to them where they're at. I see you doing things in bars and coffee shops, and I'm supposed to say repeat bars to you. I'm really supposed to, look, underlined bars, okay? God is, here's what I saw for you. You went out into the public, and you got really muddy and dirty. And then you came back into, I know this isn't your building, but you came back into the church building, and you're covered with mud, and you get up to the front, and just like a golden retriever is really muddy, you just start to shake like that, and mud goes flying everywhere, and everybody in the church gets covered with mud. And God says that evangelism is messy, that he wants it to be messy. He's made it so it's not clean and orderly and all put in place, and he's going to push you out into the world. You're going to get muddy, but what's going to happen is you're going to come back into the body and shake off that evangelism funk, and it's going to get on everybody, and the church is going to get set on fire because of stuff that you're doing. And so he also says to not worry about your house being clean and neat when you have people over, that you like to have everything clean and neat, and it needs to smell good. You make sure it smells good and make sure it looks nice, but he's going to use your home in all this stuff, all this evangelism, messy stuff, and that he says there's going to be specific times when you don't have time to clean and people show up, but because it's not clean, it's going to open a door for ministry. And so he says to not worry too much about that because hospitality is not a clean home, it's a way of life. Yeah. And so also see a new strength coming to you to bear burdens. There's just going to be spiritually, just like your legs and your shoulders are going to get strengthened to, like as you're ministering to people, they're going to share a lot of heavy stuff with you. And that weight is going to be something that you're able to bear, and it's not going to pollute your life. Like when, I think it's Paul was saying, beware whenever you're praying for somebody, lest it come upon you. Well, don't worry about being caught in the person's junk that you're praying for, because God's given you strength to bear stuff, and it's going to roll off your back like water off a duck's back. There's new ideas for evangelism that are going to start to come to you. God's really going to push you outside of your comfort zone with this, but there's going to be really lots of new things that you're going to come up with, and you're going to think they're crazy, but he says to go for it. Okay, at some point you're going to have a small group in your home. Same thing, don't worry about it looking perfect or smelling great. Although you're supposed to bake bread, I don't know if you bake bread, but at some point there's going to be a gift of baking bread. That smell, even, as people walk into your house, it's just going to soften hearts. God says there's life in your house. This is a big deal. You need to be having people over.
It's so big.
And even, I just had a vision of, I've actually baked bread a couple times, amazingly enough. And have you ever baked bread? You know when you punch down the dough in the bowl? That's you right now. The kingdom of God has been something that God has put in you at a young age. And it's been like yeast just working through the leaven, through the flour. And you're at a point now where you've risen in the bowl, and God's punching it down and begin to gather the dough together. And a lot of your heart's desires are about to be fulfilled. He's about to put you in the oven. Now, that means some testing is coming, a little bit of trials, but that's all part of the call, and it's coming forth. Amen.
Just one last thing. You're a key person in this church. God's building his church. And there's a strengthening and people coming in. And there's going to be a greater demand on the ministry, the level of ministry and the supply of ministry, because more people are coming in. There's a wave of salvation coming into the church. And you're a key part of what God's going to be doing. And you're going to have a function in strengthening and building this church, which to me means working out supply of ministry and grace to people that are coming so they are strengthened. Our goal is always to strengthen whoever comes in the door. Right? God's going to use you in this. Significant time period coming up. It's going to be a lot of work coming up too. Schedule's going to be challenged. Strength's going to be challenged. Perseverance is going to be challenged just to stay on the task and be willing to give of yourself and trust God to make up the time to you that you need. Okay? All right, we got this verse here too. You read. Yeah. All right. Jonah has preached to Nineveh. This is the bubbling up. This is one of the ways we process sometimes. It bubbles up so fast we don't know what we're saying. Now, Jonah 3:5, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them.
So it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Right after the prophecy, he starts talking about the evangelism, and he throws that in there, and God says, they're going to believe.
That's right. That's right. One other thing. As I was sitting down, I saw the hand of the Lord over your spiritual womb. And even the words that were prophesied over you today, as you're bringing that forth, the enemy has been trying to come against that from coming to pass. There has been a constant pressure and a constant attack, but I saw the hand of the Lord just over your spiritual womb and just saying, I'm protecting that. That vision, that calling that's on you has to come forth. There's a destiny in you, and that has to be birthed. And the Lord is saying that will be birthed. So even though the enemy has been trying, even though there has been an attempt, the Lord has been keeping you safe and protecting you, because that will come forth in your life.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and our sister to bring her here. God, we sense a Kairos time for her. God, of things that have been spoken in the past and new things, but of everything coming together right now in this time. So God, we just see a time of release and of activation. So Lord, we just pray this back to you, and Lord, not to speak rashly, but we activate all these words right now. We activate all of them. We say, God, bring them up and let them bear fruit quickly, that this will be a season of harvest. In the name of Jesus, amen.